You know, I've said it's a complicated issue. I believe it's gone under the radar this election. That's not right because it's too important an issue not to explore. And that's the legalization of marijuana. Is that right or wrong for Montana? Couple of proposals out there. I-190, CI-118. They're forcing the issue. You should look them up. And we are continuing our series here today. And today we're going to shift our focus a little bit. We looked at business. We looked at what is happening in other states that have legalized this drug. What do our law enforcement officers feel about legalized marijuana? We find out more about that today on Voices.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483. Or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, be on your best behavior, Tom Schultz.
I know. I joked with my crew today that I gave everybody a couple of days' notice so all the ne'er-do-wells can straighten up a little bit, at least, as Billings Police Chief Rich St. John is in studio here today. And
yeah, you were looking at me, I know, right through the Zoom call when you said that.
And he did. You know, he's looking okay today, Rich.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Thank you guys for being here. Appreciate 20 years on air, 22 as a matter of fact, two decades and working on that third. And today, as I mentioned, you know, we are digging into this because it's just don't take this lightly. I think it's gone under the radar. And as you heard, Billings Police Chief Rich St. John is in studio today. And we're going to talk about how law enforcement officers, it's not just how they think and feel about legalized marijuana in our state. But there's a lot of, as we talk about it being a complicated issue, there's a lot of nuances to prosecuting or enforcing our laws because, for one, it's still federally a Schedule I drug, so that makes it illegal all across the country. So how do you ask them to kind of look the other way on one law, but yet enforce it from the state perspective? It's real difficult. It's complicated in that regard. I'm not sure there's a ton of answers there, but there's I know getting our text messages here this week, and thank you for joining us at 781-627-5483. That's our text number, okay? They've got a lot of them coming in. Some of them I've had to save for this program today, but to keep it coming, 781-627-5483. You can give us a call, too, at 866-627-5483. Chief, I love calling people Chief. How you doing, Chief?
I'm doing really well, Tom. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for being here. First of all, I've said this over and over on the air over the weeks, this stuff going on about defund the police is just, for me, it's nonsense. It enrages me, and I don't like to be enraged, and I can't figure it out in a lot of ways. I'll speak for myself, but I know that a lot of people are going to say that. And in fact, if we look at what happened here in Billings, you get that affirmation in a recent public safety mill levy. But you guys do a job. You're unsung heroes in my mind, Rich, and you and your men and women. I know our soldiers go out there and defend our freedoms in various lands. You guys are front line making sure that those freedoms matter. And so I can't thank you enough, sir.
Well, thank you for those comments. And, yeah, certainly disheartened at what we're seeing going on nationwide. On the flip side of that, I'm so blessed to live here in Montana and Billings specifically. You know, obviously some different socioeconomics and demographics that we're dealing with. But overwhelmingly, the public supports what the police department is doing. And I think that the recent mill levy with a 2-1 victory really, really underscores the fact that, you know, people understand the problems that we're facing. And they, you know, coupled by the good work that the men and women of the Billings Police Department are doing, and give us the tools to keep doing that job. I got to give credit to the city council, our administration. Tough decision. Faced with three options as we go into the COVID era was to do nothing, which would have resulted in a $4.5 million hole in the public safety budget. That, you know, when you start looking at that, most definitely is going to adversely affect our ability to deliver service. Maintain status quo, or, you know, the Cadillac version, which is to grow the departments. And, early mathematics on that one, that's looking about a 60-65% tax increase for everybody.
Wow.
Very tough decision there. The fire chief and I unequivocally said, when the question finally came around to us, is what do you think? And we just said, we cannot go backwards. We cannot go backwards based on what's going on in both departments. And so that's what the ask was to plug the hole. And let's, you know, take a look at strategies as we go forward as the economic landscape kind of clears up as we move on.
Right. That's been a part of it here is that you guys had to kind of pare back that original request. And this is a – you guys can look this up. There's good stories published in Lee Enterprises or the Billings Gazette regarding – I'll give you some information on this, the background of this mill levy. It was since 2004. It hadn't had an increase in that. And the population hasn't increased. And I think, you know – crime rate is something that if you just give it as a straight statistic, as a data figure, it doesn't explain really what happens overall in the enforcement of crime. But population increase and just the stress that people are under since 2004. I mean, a lot of things have changed since 2004.
Well, certainly. You know, our calls for service have steadily increased. Our population is where we want it. It's gradual. We didn't get massive hits with people coming in here. But, you know, when you start looking at 2012, 2013, methamphetamine hits us hard.
Boy.
And it really drives the crime that we're seeing. All of our property crime, for the most part, is driven by people who need to fund their habit. And then our violent crime, you know, bad drug deals, ripoffs, people that are not in touch with reality, committing crimes. And our officer-involved shootings, with the exception of one probably, the common denominator was methamphetamine. And so that is our number one drug problem that we're trying to get a handle on. And to lose resources to deal with that would have been catastrophic. And, of course, you know, your main topic here really,
yeah,
it's really segues and you know, plays a huge part in that issue.
Let's take a break here and come on back, because that is a perfect segue, because this can complicate things in a lot of ways when we talk about enforcing or really public safety as it's related to drug and alcohol abuse. What will legalizing marijuana do? We'll find out more. Billings Police Chief Rich St. John is with us. A bit later on, we'll get the perspective from the county attorney side of things, as Wyatt Glade, Custer County Attorney, will join us here today from Montana for Montana Voices of Montana. We're looking at the law enforcement side of these proposals. If they pass C-I, that's a constitutional initiative, 118. The one that concerns me an awful lot is I-190, all right? And those folks who signed up and said, let's put it on the ballot, I'm okay with that. But I don't know if you realize that you signed up for 66 pages of laws. You're going to see on the ballot two paragraphs, and you're going to get yes or no on this. But behind that is 66 pages of laws. And is that the right thing for a ballot initiative? We're back here with Billings Police Chief Rich St. John. As I mentioned, Wyatt Glade will join us a bit later on. I'm Tom Schultz. Chief, I appreciate your time here. Going right back to what I've heard from law enforcement officers over and over and over is that I don't know what the specific statistic is. They'll go 80, they'll go 90, and you say it's the majority of, but calls that they are dealing with come back to drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the unequivocally co-occurring addiction and mental illness really drives the work that you know, that we're doing in the Billings Police Department. And I think all of our messages, even going into the safety levy discussions, address that to the point when we were looking at that Cadillac plan, had a component which dealt with mental health, and we're helping all social partners. And matter of fact, we are partnering with what's called Yellowstone Substance Abuse Connect, which is bringing all of the social services together, your clean and sober housing, your treatment, your prevention. We know what's causing the problem, what's driving our crime. And if that's the case, why don't we try to do something on the front end? And it is absolutely, it was groundbreaking that the ONDCP, the Office of National Drug Policy, approved federal grant money through our federal task force, okay, which is usually earmarked for enforcement, to go to treatment and prevention programs. Yeah. They were so impressed with what we have going here to try to address that on the front end. There's some things that don't deal with that, but, you know, unequivocally, You know, your DUIs, your, you know, look at all the stuff, your partner, family member assaults, you're going to see all of that present. And then we get into pharmaceuticals and, you know, your cocaine, your heroin, your methamphetamine and marijuana. They're all present in some form, some shape in most everything that we get into.
What would concern you about legalized marijuana in the state of Montana?
Well, I think, you know, when I, you know, correlate what other states have gone through. And so, you know, you're looking at Colorado, California, Washington, Oregon, going back to 2012 through 2016 is when those states legalized recreational. I mean, across the board, you're seeing significant impacts in traffic fatalities and impaired driving. Upwards to, 50% increases in the DUI aspect itself, and then, of course, the fatalities have increased. We're seeing more hospitalization or calls to the poison center for secondhand exposure or, overdose, whatnot. And then, of course, what's really concerning is the exposure to kids in the house, maybe secondhand smoke or they got a hold of it. Some of the issues that they saw were the dispensaries, a lot of minors were getting in or had access to. So that's very, very concerning. The black market things, what we see is high taxation, and that's one of the things the proponents will talk about, is, we can assess a tax. It's going to help with our budget problems. Colorado specifically, they make less than 1% off of this, but the tax is so high. So what happens is you have too much product, it gets diverted out the back door, and then so now we're dealing with illegal stuff. And then, of course, the societal impact, and we can talk about that after the break.
And we need to, yeah, because that's huge. And what you're relaying there is that what we're being told about legalized marijuana is not what we're seeing play out on the ground. We'll take a break and come on back with more here of Voices of Montana. He began his law enforcement career some 40 years ago, and that adds up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I just can't find an exit strategy right now, so here I sit with you guys.
Right, yeah. Member of the Billings Police Department, I think, was it since 1981? Is that correct?
Yep, correct, 1981.
Yeah, that's a long time, and you went through the ranks there, detective. That's where I first ran into you years ago, and then was it a couple years ago? Two? Is it now going on three, Billings Police Chief, or is it longer?
Much longer, yeah. We're 13, 14 years.
Is that right?
Yeah, whatever 2006 is.
So. Wow, time does fly. Yeah. Well, thank you for your service, and thanks for being here, too. It's Billings Police Chief Rich St. John back here on Voices of Montana. I'm Tom Schultz. We're talking about, as we have, the series continuing legalized marijuana, right or wrong, for Montana. We'll talk with some of the proponents. I think I'm getting that lined up on Monday, and it just won't be a one-hour show. We'll do continuing a series throughout because, as I've said, I think it's gone under the radar this election. And Rich, you were saying the same thing. You think this is kind of an issue that's people aren't necessarily paying attention to a whole lot right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, COVID was front and center going back to March, and a lot of concerns there, people's health, and then, of course, economics. But those people that were out gathering signatures were, you know, out doing that quietly, appropriately, just talking to people. I saw them in front of the courthouse. People were lined up there to renew their license plates, and people were talking to them about that. So, again, I think it goes to your point that you've got a couple ballot measures there. One is 60-plus pages long, which, tell me there's not loopholes or problems or enforcement or regulation issues that are going to be in there, and the other one a little bit more pragmatic, a yes or no, and one page. I think that, it's something that every state in the union is facing in some sort, and probably eventually it'll get here in Montana. We need to have the voters be very, very educated as to what it is they're being asked to approve, and then second, understand, what some of the proponents may say are going to be a benefit, and then, as you indicated, what those people on the ground that are actually dealing with it are having problems with. And I'm not going to sit here and say that everybody who engages and uses medical marijuana and or recreational is a criminal.
Right.
That is not the case at all. But you certainly have people that are taking advantage of it, taking advantage of the loopholes, taking advantage of the confusion between local law and federal law. And your county attorney can talk that specifically, some of the difficulties that they have. But at the end of the day, when I have officers going into a house and you have, you know, marijuana, you have paraphernalia, you have children, you have people saying it's legal, I have a card or whatever. You have we have landlords now that are complaining about people smoking marijuana in their property. So it's, you know, stinks that up. The neighbors upstairs are getting a dose of it. So there are some real societal issues that, you know, law enforcement particularly are the ones that are going to get into that. And we have to be very careful not to violate anybody's rights on the enforcement side. So we lean heavily on our attorneys and also our federal partners, too.
Let's welcome Custer County Attorney Wyatt Glade. He's president of the Montana County Attorneys Association, a rancher in eastern Montana with his wife and three kids and a former pro rodeo cowboy. Going to like him just for that. Served as the county attorney in Custer County since 2006. Good morning, Wyatt. How's it going?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing well.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good. You got good. I think you guys are familiar with each other. Same department, so to speak, Department of Justice. So with Billings Police Chief Rich St. John here. What's your thought? It surprised me when I looked at the ballot language for I-90. You know, if you look at one page, you go, okay, this is what it is. There's 63 pages here. Have you dug into this?
You know, I haven't dug into it enough to be super well spoken on it. I would agree with Chief St. John that with any ballot measure that long, there are two ballot measures at stake here, being put to the voters as a constitutional initiative, it's going to be a mess, especially if one passes and one doesn't. What I've heard is there's a possibility that we may be the only state in the union with marijuana, recreational marijuana, legal for age 18 and up. You know, and to hopefully not covering ground that you've already covered, the last experience I've had with a constitutional initiative that passed in a similar fashion was Marcy's Law a few years back. And what I learned about constitutional initiatives is that when they're passed by that process, that the government, at least in that instance, was not really well prepared to deal with what needed to be implemented to make that transition seamless and painless for everyone. That was a mess. I can't imagine what's going to happen if this is passed in this fashion. We don't have rules drafted. We don't have statutes drafted that are going to be level and even across the board. I think it's going to be a scramble. I think this is going way too fast. If this is going to happen, I would prefer to see it go through the legislative process. Of course, don't have control over that. It is what it is. I think one thing that I've got a lot to say about this, Tom. I don't mean to just run off.
Go ahead.
One thing that I want to make real clear is that this isn't just necessarily about marijuana and recreational use of marijuana. This is about politics and money, a whole bunch of money. These groups that are pushing these signatures are extremely well-funded. They're organized. They're doing this on a national basis. Marijuana is big business, and they've got big money behind them, and people are getting rich on these selling recreational marijuana, and I think that's something that the voters of Montana need to be aware of as we go to the polls. This isn't just about recreational marijuana. It's about business.
It's a real strong point. We got to take a break here, but I heard that earlier in conversations we had this week. One was from Steve Zabawa. He's a local businessman, but civic-minded, founded Safe Montana a couple of years ago in opposition, is part of a coalition of business interests that are opposed to this. And he talked about that they're funneling money, these gangs are funneling money through these legal marijuana shops for illegal activities, methamphetamine, and, you know, he called them the white powders. So it is not just as black and white as it might seem up front. And I think that you'll want to talk to, and I know Police Chief Rich St. John will want to talk to the issue of, this is not your father's marijuana. This is not the harmless joint that that folks may have smoked, 10, 15, 20 years ago. It's a whole different ball of wax. So we'll come on back as we explore the issue, legalized marijuana, right or wrong for our state. I like that commercial, you know, whatever it was. This is not your father's Buick. That relates in a lot of ways to what we're talking about here today, legalized marijuana, right or wrong for Montana, in studio. And I talk too much sometimes. We've got just a few minutes for this segment. Then we've got more time on the other side. Billings Police Chief Rich St. John is with us. Wyatt Glay, Custer County Attorney, as we talk about law enforcement and prosecuting illegal marijuana. Wyatt, I know one of the things that you wanted to bring out, top of mind for you, was how strong today's marijuana is.
Absolutely. I think when people think about marijuana, there's a tendency to consider it a harmless drug and a plant and a natural substance. And, you know, it is a plant. It is a natural substance. But when compared to the Woodstock weed that I think a lot of people think about when they consider marijuana, today's marijuana is way higher in THC, which is the intoxicating compound in the drug. And people can create byproducts like it's called dab or glass or hashish oil that is extremely concentrated, can contain up to 99% THC in it. This is a very powerful drug. It's very dangerous from that standpoint, especially for kids, for adolescent kids. And some of these edibles, they don't look any different than your run-of-the-mill brownie. It's a problem. There are medical studies showing how damaging THC and marijuana is to the adolescent brain, and irrefutable science. It's not good for kids, and it's a concern. It's something people need to keep in mind as we go through this.
Chief, what does that do when officers respond this high concentration of marijuana to calls?
Yeah, well, and Tom, I would say agree 100% with Wyatt's saying, but understand that we very rarely find somebody that's just using marijuana. They almost have something else on board, whether it's marijuana and alcohol, marijuana and methamphetamine, marijuana and pharmaceuticals. So, what that does is increases the potential volatility for the encounter. I mean, so you have people that are unpredictable. They are certainly uncooperative and very difficult and dangerous to deal with in some cases.
Not sure legalized marijuana helps in that regard. We'll come on back and talk more. I've got some specific text messages I want to get to regarding law enforcement of this potential new law in Montana. We are from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Fastest Hour in Montana Radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
Thanks for being here, continuing our series on legalized marijuana, right or wrong for Montana. Next week, we begin a new series. If you're looking to learn more about Montana's senatorial candidates, you should join me as we kick off every show. We'll hear important stances from both Senator Steve Daines and Governor Steve Bullock on topics important to Montana, like Medicare and like Social Security. A ton of stuff that we'll cover next week. It's brought to you by AARP. If you're not able to catch the show, we've got some playbacks on aarp.org/Montana, and that begins on Monday. Again, thanks for being here. Tom Schultz alongside Billings Police Chief Rich St. John is in studio. Wyatt Glade by phone here. He's the Custer county attorney and chief. I was, you know, you are, as I look at your bio here, and forgive me, you guys, for not giving enough of this. There's a lot of training here. There's a lot of experience in those 40 years from various different parts of it. But also a lot of that, you currently hold executive positions on the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Traffic Area. And I understand that that organization named your Eastern Montana Task Force Task Force of the Year 2 years in a row. Not so bad.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm very, very proud of that. Unfortunately, that indicates that there's no shortage of business for that. But Rocky Mountain High, we like our acronyms in law enforcement, and Wyatt's probably shaking his head because he has to sort through them in his reports. But it's a four-state drug task force. And we get federal money. Billings Police Department's a fiduciary here. They pretty much handle things and support Eastern Montana. The mission statement of any HIDTA task force, which they have throughout the country, is to disrupt and dismantle drug traffic organizations. So we are looking at mid-level and higher individuals. And, you know, again, methamphetamine is our number one problem. We know it's direct source from Mexico. And so we do. I mean, in order to be nominated for that and win 2 years in a row, they're disrupting drug traffic organizations. But even though, you know, the main push of our work is methamphetamine, marijuana is always present in some form.
Wyatt, I want to ask you this question about how enforcing marijuana laws on one level and not enforcing them on the other complicates your job. Because if they do legalize it, as it has been in some states, it is still on the federal level Schedule One drug, and possession, especially after certain amounts, is going to be a federal crime. How difficult is it to sort through all that?
It's pretty difficult. I don't even know where to start, Tom.
Right? Yeah, no.
So I'll say that federal crimes are prosecuted by the U.S. attorney. I'm a county attorney. I prosecute violations of state law unless I am cross-deputized, which I am not at the moment. That does happen at times, but generally you could be legal to possess recreational marijuana in Montana and still be in violation of federal law. And the question is, would that be prosecuted by the federal attorneys, U.S. attorneys? And I can't really speak for them. I can tell you that they do have minimum thresholds for what they will and will not prosecute. Mm-hmm. And those thresholds change depending on the administration and the whoever is running their department. They will prosecute large volumes of marijuana, whether they do or not. Prosecute the smaller ones is a decision solely for them. But it's just very confusing how you can have a substance legal on the state side, illegal on the federal side. And I know the other states that have dealt with legalization have grappled with this. It is a confusing legal mashup.
Chief, your men and women, they enforce local, state, and federal laws, right?
If they're deputized federally.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. How is this a complicated issue for those guys on the street?
Yeah, most definitely. And, you know, the attorneys, the county attorneys, and we have a municipal court, so, you know, that some of those cases go there, have the luxury of some time to review a case if we make an arrest. But our officers on the ground are, you know, they come into a situation and they have to make a decision right now. You know, do I make an arrest? Do I seize whatever property this may be? Understanding that if the person has it legally, that they're potentially exposing themselves and the department to liability. You know, do we just walk away from it and get a hold of our attorney and say, hey, here's what I had. Can I go back with a warrant? And that's all happening. In the meantime, you know, the phone keeps ringing and calls keep coming in and we have to get going with things. So very, very difficult. You know, it's tough. I know Wyatt probably gets direct dialed by deputies, out there, all hours of the night asking, you know, for advice on stuff. I know that our people are doing the same thing. But when we had a change, as Wyatt indicated in administration, you know, we went from we're really not going to be messing with any of this thing federally, and then there was a change, and they jumped in pretty hard, and it made a difference. When you look at statistics, Some people who were probably not doing it right on the medical marijuana side got hit pretty hard federally, and that scared some people off.
Yeah.
And so we saw a significant reduction in the incidence. But to your original question, absolutely, it's very, very difficult and very, very complicated when you don't have clear-cut law.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, legal or illegal.
And that might be the case. We go back to 2004 when medical marijuana was first approved. It wasn't very well defined by – it would have to have come down from the Attorney General's office, state of Montana. It didn't really happen that way, and so it got real convoluted. We'll talk about that background in a little bit. I want to get to this question that I've been asked over the course of the week on our text line at 781-627-5483. Again, for both of you guys, Billings Police Chief Rich St. John and then Wyatt Glade, Custer County Attorney, and that's in traffic stops, Rich. Impaired driving, how difficult is it to detect? How reliable are the tools that you have in determining if a person is driving unsafely or illegally under the influence of marijuana?
Absolutely. Well, the officers are, certainly looking for any inconsistencies or things that are suspicious when somebody's driving, and it's going to be no different if they're under the influence of alcohol or committing some sort of infraction or speeding, weaving, whatever the case may be. That really gives us the, the probable cause to make a stop to investigate further. On the alcohol side, generally you're going to have some smell. Mm-hmm. You're going to do field sobriety maneuver, and a big part of the a DUI arrest is a breath sample on the street, mm-hmm. and then ultimately a breath sample when you take them to our DUI processing center. We do have the ability, if they refuse, to draw blood. There is no breath test at this point for THC, so invariably it's going on officers' observation. We have what's called drug recognition experts, DREs, in our department, which can look at a bunch of tendencies, behaviors, and whatnot, and give a expert witness opinion on whether or not they are under the influence of whatever it was. And then obviously we can take them to the hospital for a drug draw or, in difficult situations, apply for a search warrant. But it's much difficult to attain that evidence that you need for a successful prosecution.
Right. That's one half of the side. The other half of the side, Wyatt, you get to deal with. How difficult is it to prosecute some of these under the influence or unduly under the influence of marijuana, whether it's driving or operating equipment unsafely? How difficult is that?
You know, I would echo a lot of what Chief St. John said. We rely primarily on the DRE folks to detect under the influence marijuana cases. And what that means in practice is that your patrol cop will recognize signs of impairment and make a traffic stop. And a lot of the tools that they have been trained to use are designed to detect people who are under the influence of alcohol. Most of your patrol officers are trained enough to recognize there may be something going on, but it may not be alcohol. And it becomes then a resource issue whether you have enough officers with that DRE training available, especially in some of the smaller jurisdictions, to send somebody to that traffic stop if your patrol officer doesn't have that DRE training, to send somebody with the DRE certification to go there and do those specific sobriety tests to detect whether somebody is under the influence of marijuana or any other drug, because some of those tests are different than your straight up under the influence of alcohol detection tests, which Chief St. John could probably speak better to than I. But what he mentioned about building to taking blood, we do have the ability to get a search warrant for blood. Generally speaking, if it's a second offense DUI, say you pull somebody over, they're showing signs of being under the influence. They refuse to provide a breath sample. We have a mechanism where we can get a blood draw by a search warrant. You can just call the judge and get a search warrant telephonically. However, you have to have enough facts to justify that search warrant, probable cause. And to do that, you would be in a much better position if you had a DRE-trained officer able to say to the judge, I administered these tests, these are the indicators that I see, and this is why I believe I have probable cause to believe this person's under the influence of alcohol or marijuana, excuse me. And so that has been a bit of a challenge at times. You know, beyond that, when you move into the prosecution world and you're at trial, you face some of the same things we are facing in the conversation related to this ballot initiative, which would be people's view of marijuana as largely a harmless substance. I'll say I don't see that here in Custer County, but I know that in some places it's an issue that must be overcome. And beyond that, we do have a blood level that is associated with under the influence for marijuana. It's 5 nanograms per milliliter, I believe, something along those lines. But those are the things that we generally face in the prosecution world. I'd say the biggest challenge is the resources, making sure we have enough DRE officers available. And, of course, if marijuana becomes legal, we're going to need a lot more of those, which is going to be a burden on the community.
Yeah, and I know that the guesswork makes your guys' job a lot harder. And so this is why when you if you are out there on the road, you've got blood tests or this breathalyzer, which can give you pretty good evidence here. Outside of the DREs, it's still sort of, especially on the prosecution side, a lot of guesswork, I think, I mean, at least a little bit of guesswork, and that's really difficult for law enforcement. Got to take a break, final break here, and we'll come on back with some final thoughts. Billings Police Chief Rich St. John in studio here, and Wyatt Glade, Custer County Attorney, our station in Miles City, KMTA 1050 AM and 95.3 FM by phone. If you're thinking about planting a tree, okay, a tree, make sure to pick one that's best for the climate and the surrounding area. There are tips available from Northwestern Energy because they want to make sure you also watch out for overhead power lines, okay? Just visit northwesternenergy.com/trees for more helpful information. From Montana for Montana.
Hi, this is Levi, certified arborist for Northwestern Energy. If you're thinking about planting a tree this spring, make sure you're picking a tree that's best for the climate and the area around. The tree might be small now, well, you'll need to think about how tall and wide it's going to grow. Then make sure you're not planting too close to power lines or other utility structures that could get damaged as the tree grows. For more helpful tips and safety information, visit northwesternenergy.com/trees.
All right, tomorrow on the program, we'll continue the topic, and we'll move off it a little bit, too, as our monthly check-in with the Attorney General's Office. That is Tim Fox, Department of Justice. I think I can rightly say it's Rich's boss, it's Wyatt's boss, but he's a good boss. I know that for a fact.
Good boss.
Yeah. Rich St. John, Billings Police Chief, in studio here. Wyatt Glade, Custer County Attorney here, as we'll finish up. Pat, thank you for hanging on. I know you've got a question, and I think Chief St. John can answer that to some degree. Pat is listening on KCAP 950 AM in Helena, and you're on the air.
Oh, thank you. I wondered about the number of traffic fatalities in Montana that have been connected to marijuana impairment. That's my first question. Second one, are you officers allowed to ask for a blood or urine sample from the person that you are finding at a traffic stop where there's been an impairment suggested?
Good practical questions.
Yeah, thank you for those. I don't have the Montana number specifically. What I was prepared to do was kind of extrapolate the states that have recreational and you know what they've seen in general is a 50% increase in their traffic deaths where drivers tested positive, and about a 25% increase in overall fatalities. So I think the correlation there that, you know, marijuana is really, you know, benign and not going to bother anything is a moot point on that one. Second of all, yes, we certainly have the ability to ask a driver to submit to a blood test generally is what we do. But that's following a request for a breath test, which is stipulated in MCA, and why I could probably expound on that. But if they refuse either one of those, then we have the ability to get the search warrant and basically take it as we need.
Fastest hour in radio. Thank you, Pat. Wyatt, we're out of time for that. Expound on this. Are you still roping and riding, sir?
Well, mostly I'm running the chute for my kids now.
And that's probably a little safer, a little more fun, but still puts a beat in your heart, doesn't it?
You bet. You bet it does.
Thank you for being on the program. Thank you for what you do, Wyatt.
Thank you, sir.
Wyatt Glade, Custer County Attorney. And Billings Police Chief Rich St. John. We'll talk again, okay?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It was great fun, great questions, and look forward to it.
We will. Yeah, we'll continue on that. On this journey. And we appreciate you joining us as well. My thanks to Josh Rath, our in-studio engineer. Tim Fox, on tomorrow, and then we'll have open phones here on Voices of Montana.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.